So this is what you do the first time we're back together as a family, Vampire Book Club.
Warning, this podcast, Vampire Book Club, will contain spoilers from The Vampire Diaries, The Originals, and Legacies. Hey everyone, my name is Michaela. Welcome to my podcast, Vampire Book Club. Please expect Vampire Diaries spoilers, Vampire Diaries universe, including Legacies and The Originals, as well as any of the books. In today's episode, I'm going to be talking about my favorite species in the entire Vampire Diaries universe, and that would be the Heretics. Heretics are a vampire hybrid. They are unique to the Gemini Coven. The Gemini Coven is a group of witches that originated in Portland, Oregon, and they're actually based off of a real coven, although when you try to Google them, all that comes up is the Vampire Diaries stuff. Twins play a major role in this coven. Twins merge together to become the leader of the Gemini Coven. Now, if the leader was to die, the entire coven does also die, with the exception if there are twins, they will stay alive because they will be the savior of the coven. Because again, when twins turn 22, they merge together to become the leader of the coven. Now, in this coven only, there is a very rare type of witch called a siphon witch, where they do not possess magic of their own. However, they are able to siphon magic from any magical source, including other supernatural beings, spells, and talismans. When a siphon witch is turned into a vampire, they, unlike any other witch other than Hope Michelson, get to keep their magic. Their vampirism becomes a constant source for their siphoning. And I really don't know if this is because they are not looked at as nature's servants because they do not possess magic of their own or not. But overall, that is my assumption. So a heretic is the only witch-vampire hybrid, which is why they are called heretics. Okay, so I actually have a theory about how the siphon witches even started. I truly think that because they are only specific to the Gemini Coven, that because the way that this specific coven merges, that it needs to absorb the other twins' magic, eventually they evolved into creating witches that did absorb magic. So as we meet heretics or siphon witches, we see that they were treated very differently as children. They were treated differently from their coven. They were thought to be abominations. And honestly, I really don't see how that could even be a little bit possible. I think they are honestly, just even as witches, were the coolest species to exist. I don't understand why they weren't coveted more. I think that they are truly an amazing species and could have been used in a lot of different situations. If anyone in their family had needed a spell to be broken, they could have just siphoned that away for them. We see Valerie siphon a sleeping spell away. We also see the twins are able to siphon the Hollow's magic out of Hope. We also see that they are able to siphon the armory door open. We also see a town size spell and a werewolf bite being siphoned, as well as a variety of other spells. We first learn about the siphons or heretics in season 6. So some of the heretics that we see are Kai Parker, Valerie Tull, Nora Hildegard, Mary Louise. Not sure what her last name is, nor do I know what Beau, Oscar, Malcolm's are either. And then we see Lizzie Saltzman as well as a heretic. I will definitely be discussing some of their storylines as we go along and maybe doing a little mini character breakdown for each one. But before I do that, I'm going to start with talking about the strengths and weaknesses of the heretic species. So some of their strengths include vamp speed and vamp hearing, compulsion, getting into other people's or vampires' heads, immortality. They have the ability to heal themselves and others, as well as make new vampires. And this can all be done with siphoning magic or vampire blood. And that is a strength within itself, to siphon or to use magic, because no other vampire can and no other witch can be a vampire. Again, other than the tribrid. Unlike other witches, they are not vulnerable to anti-magic spells. They can siphon up the spell and use the ability to that anti-magic and remove the spell, as we see Kai Parker do that. Which leads me to believe that St. James also would, they would be able to have the same effect on the St. James in New Orleans. Some of their other weaknesses are that they do have to be invited in if somebody owns the home. And a lot of the other weaknesses that I can think of right now are really not clearly defined. So I do not know. So I'm not sure how much they are affected by vervain. Valerie makes Caroline skin vervain with a spell. We do see that it burns when Mira Louise goes to touch her. But then there is a scene where Valerie and Stefan go to find the herb that Freya used to make his magical mask that hid his mark from Reyna Cruz. While we do see both Valerie and Stefan drop, we see that Valerie has already had a whole conversation with this woman before we even see Stefan wake up. So my thoughts are maybe she was just able to siphon it out quickly where it lasted longer inside of Stefan. Or is it a natural instinct for survival to start siphoning? Especially in an unconscious state like that. Though it is specifically stated that a werewolf vampire hybrid has to be killed by removing its head or its heart. It is unclear if werewolf hybrids could be killed in a fire. It is never specified for a heretic if that is the case, that a heretic can only die from either their heart removal or head removal. However, we see Kai die twice. Both times his head is removed. And we see both Malcolm and Oscar's heart being ripped out in order for them to die. We see Nora and Mary Louise basically die in a fire because they were siphoning the Reyna Cruz's sword and released all of the vampire souls from the Hellstone, causing their car to flip and explode, resulting in death of fire. So I am not sure if a stake in the heart would actually kill the heretics. It's also very unclear if the heretics need daylight rings. Well, they never put any emphasis on them having them. And we do see them going outside. Lizzie Saltzman becomes a vampire. We never see them making her one. And while one of their weaknesses is Reyna Cruz's blade and stone being trapped in the Hellstone, another one may be her blood. We see the random woman who vervained Stefan and Valerie with sores all over her body. We then see Mary Louise with sores all over her body. We find out that this was anti-magic pills, either with Reyna Cruz's blood and the herbs that they were trying to get, or both. The writing at this point is very questionable because here is another thing that we do not know. We see that Nora and Mary Louise are trapped in the armory for years and they're not able to get out. And then in season 8, we see Kai Parker in a cell in the armory and he is able to siphon all the magic that is in the building through the walls in order to get free. So I'm really not sure why they didn't just do that to both the pills and the walls. So I guess their weaknesses were not being able to be invited in and Reyna Cruz's stone and blade. I am going to say that it's safe to say that the daylight rings are not needed because we never actually see Bo wearing any jewelry of any kind. And we know it doesn't actually have to be a ring because Catherine has a bracelet, so it could be any form of jewelry. But I really needed it to be said one way or the other. What are your thoughts on this? Do you think they needed daylight rings? Do you think they had them? And do you think they could die if they were staked in the heart with wood? Let me know in the comments below if you're on a platform who supports commenting, like YouTube. So the first siphon witch that we ever see is Kai Parker. He is introduced in the 6th season of The Vampire Diaries. And he has a very tragic backstory. He was in his own prison world because he had murdered a lot of his siblings in an attempt to murder the youngest twins in his family so they could not merge and become the leader of their coven. As a child, he always kind of isolated himself and felt like an abomination, and his family also treated him like he was an abomination, while treating Joe as Glenna the Good Witch is the way that he puts it, because she always had a source of magic of her own. And honestly, I kind of do have a lot of empathy for him because growing up, feeling like that must have been awful. We then see him trick Bonnie into using her magic because he needs her. He also tortures Bonnie a significant amount. Bonnie knows her grandmother sent her there, and Bonnie knows that there is something off about Kai. She's reading this magazine article and she realizes Malachi Parker. And he's like, "Who names a kid Malachi? It's like they wanted me to be evil." And I mean, he's not wrong. Bonnie has no intention of letting him out of this prison world because she knows that he's a danger to society. So she sacrifices. She pretty much kills him, realizing that he needs her because she's a Bennett witch. So she helps Damon get free as he comes at the last minute because he's like, you don't think I tried to kill myself in this prison world? So Bonnie ends up sending Damon up to back home to the real world. And the Ascendant breaks because it falls down after the spell is done. And both Bonnie and Kai are stuck in the prison world. Kai then tortures Bonnie a lot, ends up taking her to his family home on Thanksgiving, saying that he'll let her go and give her the car if she has Thanksgiving dinner with him. She does, but he was lying. He only brought her there because he realized that when she put her magic into a teddy bear and sent it up, which I forgot to mention, but she does that the second time they try to break free. And Damon ends up finding the teddy bear, which actually helps them figure out what the Gemini Coven is. However, Kai puts it together that that is what his sister did when they were about to merge, and that it was probably at their house in the tree. So now Kai Parker has his sister's magic, and he steals blood from Bonnie by stabbing her. At the same time, Damon and Elena are trying to get into the Ascendant world, and actually Damon compels Rick to get the Ascendant from Joe. And he was pretty pissed about that. And honestly, if Damon just waited a little bit, Kai would have been out on his own and not been blamed for what had happened. But because Kai found his sister's magic in the tree and had Bonnie's blood, he was able to get free himself. He is in a taxi and he's talking about how tight the pants are now and how phones are too big to even fit in the pockets. And I love that a lot of his references are 90s references. And obviously that's because he spent a massive amount of time in 1994. However, he's out in the present now. Not sure what year it is exactly, but it's the 2010s when the taxi driver or Uber driver or whatever kind of driver it is asks for the money. He ends up killing him with his headphones. He then goes and finds Liv Parker, the twin that he was originally trying to kill. So him and Joe are able to merge and he can siphon her magic to become the leader of the coven. So Kai absorbs a town-wide spell with a bunch of magic, and his twin sister Joe is training because she has not practiced magic since the day that she left her coven and put Kai in the prison world, May 10th, 1994. So she's trying to practice to become better at magic. So somehow Luke decides that, well, they all decided that Joe wasn't strong enough because he absorbed this whole spell, and that Luke was going to do the merge because technically, they're both the same age and twins of the same father. And he has a better chance of winning. However, Kai wins. Kai then starts to display some type of compassion. He helps save Bonnie by sending Jeremy over there, even though Liv tries to kill him. He's saying to Damon and Elena that he experiences these water droplets coming from my eyes. He says, I've never felt that before. I think it's crying, which is just so funny. He's such a sociopath. And he literally is trying so hard, but then Bonnie ends up leaving him in the prison world because first of all, I think she was intending on doing that anyways. Because even if what he's saying is true and that he has some of Luke's compassion, there is still him inside of her. Like, there is still Kai inside of the merged being. So he stays in the 1903 prison world where they retrieve Lily Salvatore and there are other desiccated vampires with them. And at the time, we do not realize that they are heretics. So they get fed by Kai and they all realize that they are all from the same coven with siphon magic. Lily Salvatore was working with them and was able to get some of Bonnie's blood from the real world to be able to send it over and to help them get free. So while Bonnie is being captive and her blood was taken, there's a wedding going on and it is Joe Parker and Alaric Saltzman's wedding. There is some more of the Gemini Coven there because Joe is obviously Kai's twin sister. Liv looks so good in that dress, by the way. It was definitely different from her normal attire. We don't really get to see her be fancy or hot like that as much, but I really loved her outfit. And while they're in the middle of giving their vows, Joe's heart just starts bleeding and everybody's like, oh my god, what's going on? And then boom, Kai pops up. He did an invisible spell and he just starts wreaking havoc on everybody. He ends up killing himself, which in return kills his entire coven. He thinks they're all trying to put him into a prison world and they are actually trying to put the babies the twins that Joe is pregnant with into another body so they will live and their coven can live on. And this is kind of where we see, so Liv ends up helping Tyler earlier on in season 6 by killing a person that would have died by Tyler, and he would have activated his curse again because he is stripped from magic by the travelers. So he just wakes up when he comes back from the other side. He just turns into how he was as a human, since he was technically stripped of his magic, but still has the werewolf curse in his veins. Basically, Liv kills a guy so he doesn't have to turn. And then at the wedding, we have her dying and he kills her. And it's honestly so cute because she's dying anyways. So this time he makes it his fault. He says, "You saved my life and gave me a second chance, and I promise I won't let it go to waste." And kills her and then bites Kai. And I was like, oh yeah, perfect. He's going to die from a werewolf bite. He doesn't. He's able to siphon it out of himself, which is wild. And just adds to one of the multiple cures that they actually do have for werewolf bites. And just another reason why these siphon witches should have been definitely respected way more than they were. He also does a sleeping spell that links Elena and Bonnie's life. So as long as Bonnie is living, Elena will be sleeping. Once she dies, she will be able to wake up. There are no loopholes to the spell, they say. And Damon sees Bonnie almost dying on the floor and he says, "Sorry, Bon, I'm just going to let your lung collapse so, you know, Elena can come back to life." However, that's just what he wanted Kai to think. He runs up behind Kai and snaps off his head and boom, he's dead. And then Kai makes a return in season 8 when hell has been opened. He was freed. We first see him at Mystic Falls at the Mystic Grill, where he orders a bunch of food and then realizes he cannot taste or feel anything, so he's not actually alive. He seeks Damon's help to try to get Bonnie to help him stay permanently alive so he doesn't have to go back to hell. And Damon tries to work with him so he can get Elena freed, but like usual, Kai ends up fucking him over somehow, or Bonnie just doesn't agree. So while he's trapped in the armory, he gets trapped at some point. He's posting on Twitter, Cobra Kai, 1970, whatever. And he basically says that the baddest bitch of all is running hell, Catherine Pierce. Duh. They have him being held in a cell at the armory, and they probably didn't think anything of it because both Mary Louise and Nora were also held in these cells and for years, like 3 years, and they were not able to escape. However, I'm not sure why, because Kai, Lizzie and Josie's magic starts acting crazy while they are in the armory. Kai tries to say, "I can help you with their magic problem. Let me out." And he goes, "Oh, you don't have to let me out." And he starts siphoning magic through the walls because that place is filled with magic that they are able to siphon, which is also how Josie and Lizzie can do magic in their school eventually when it becomes a school. He then attempts to kill the Saltzman twins yet again, and Caroline and Alaric are able to take him out, and they send him to a prison world eventually with Bonnie and the twins. But that's not it for Kai. He makes his final return in Legacies. Lizzie, Josie, and Alaric end up in the same prison world as Kai, and 3 of the students that belong to the Salvatore boarding school where Alaric sent them because he didn't know what to do with them. And Lizzie and Josie were not aware of this. They are also there with a vampire, Sebastian, but that's really not relevant to the story. However, Kai first saves Josie because she's there in her own spot herself and stabs Jade, who's about to feed on her. However, this is a ruse. Kai is tricking her. They do a little bonding. I actually like the bonding that they do. She shares information about Malivore, and he was the whole time tricking her to get Bennett blood. She acts like she has Bennett blood. It was actually just a like nip bottle or like a small alcohol bottle. Not sure what you call it where you live. A shooter, whatever. And she spelled it so it looked like a vial of blood. However, that was pretty smart of her. However, he uses the Malivore pit to be forgotten about and tells her at the last minute to break the clock, well, the sand clock, in order to get out of there because that's her only hope. So she does, and she becomes Evil Joe again and is able to get everybody out of there. However, nobody really remembers who Kai was, but they end up doing a spell to put it back into his memory, Hope ends up fighting him, realizing that there is something off about him as well. And Hope Mikaelson is able to keep him locked up until Alara, and she's kind of put with a choice. It's either Landon or the Salzman twins and Rick. However, I don't really remember what happens with Landon, but the Salzman twins and Rick get out of the prison world, and Alaric gets to chop off his head, and that is the end of Kai Parker. So the next heretics that we really see are the six heretics that come over with Kai Parker, and the first one is going to be Valerie Tull. This is one of the six heretics that Lily was desiccated with, or they were at least desiccated and trapped with in the prison world in 1903. So we know that Lily meets both Valerie and Oscar first. They are with her in 1863 because she sends them to meet both of her sons and to check on them before she leaves to Europe. So Valerie actually shows Stefan that she can do magic by hiding them from Julian and ends up hooking up with Stefan, taking his virginity. And Stefan, being so innocent and young at the time and so romantic as he is, shows Valerie his mother's grave. And I didn't even put this together until literally 10 minutes ago. She says, "I worked in a TB ward similar to the one your mother was in. Cream violets wouldn't have worked." So my guess is she probably worked at the place that Lily died. Just a theory. However, we see that Valerie ends up pregnant. Julian finds out by hearing the baby's heartbeat and ends up beating her until the baby dies. Ben says that he found her and Lily heals her. She ends up trying to kill herself because she was so devastated at what happened. And while she's bleeding out and being healed, we see Oscar in the background. And at that point, we don't know the history with Damon and Oscar, but we do know that she is the first heretic that they find, that they discover. And when Julian realizes how powerful heretics are, he ends up looking for more. And that's how he finds Malcolm, Mary Louise, Nora, and Beau. We see Valerie Tull do a lot of Gemini spells that are supposed to be spells done with at least two witches by herself. And these are like bigger spells. We also see that she had some experience with losing a baby. So she knows what she realizes that Rick's babies are still alive when she watches the video, and because she knows the spell. And she also realizes that Caroline is the one carrying the babies. Her and the other heretics help with Caroline's pregnancy and realize that the babies she's carrying are also siphon witches. She ends up going on the run with Stefan Salvatore, and because she's in love with him. And she ends up lying to him about how there is a solution to fix him from taking out the mark. And a few years later, it comes out anyways, and we see her swap his soul with the other vampire that is in his body's soul. And she realizes in that moment that he doesn't want her to die for him because he doesn't love her like she loves him. But she's pretty powerful and she does a lot of cool spells by herself. She's able to cloak a lot of people and just do the transfer swap with both Raina Cruz's mark and with, you know, the whole soul swapping thing. And she also is the one who discovers, like I said, the babies and whatever else. I really did like the Stefan Valerie backstory. This just makes me think more that this really is Stefan's story, even though he flat out says it in the pilot of the Vampire Diaries. I am a vampire and this is my story, because he seems to have backstories with a lot of the characters that are here, including the originals. So the next two vampires heretics that I'm going to talk about are Nora Hildegard and Mary Louise. They are a gay couple in the 1900s. They are also obviously both siphon witches, and their parents both tried to kill them while they are torturing Caroline. Mary Louise says, my family used to run a slaughter shop, and they had no problem when they found out what I was, hanging me with like a cow. Feel so bad for all these siphon witches and their disgusting with magic parents who don't even realize like how powerful and unique this ability is and how much they should be using this ability to their benefits. for their whole coven. They were both really passionate, strong, fun characters, and I really enjoyed them. Mary Louise had a tough time adjusting to this time and was very conservative and still stuck in a century ago, where Nora was very quickly adapted and very well adjusting. This causes a lot of drama for them in their relationship. In the end, they both get trapped in the armory, and Mary Louise is being fed anti-magic pills that make her sick, and she is dying. They trick Nora into helping her, but they don't actually have a cure. Reyna Cruz's sword is stuck into the car that they are driving, and as Mary Louise is dying, she's like, you know what? This bitch has taken so much from us, and then literally Nora gets marked with Reyna's sword as she threw it through. So both of their lives at this point are marked because Reyna Cruz is on her last life. So as they start doing the spell that removes all of the trapped souls in the stone, out of the stone, they start bleeding from their eyes, and eventually the car crashes and blows up. But all the stones are released. I mean, all the souls are released from the stone, and Nora and Mary Louise die. It was a very heroic death. So one of the other heretics that we get to see a lot is Bo. He is a mute. However, he wasn't always mute when he first became part of the Lily's heretic group or Siphon group. He was actually an amazing singer, and they actually play his vocals. Also, at the end of season 6, there's a different actor plays Bo than the one that does in season 7. Bo is very expressive. His character, you're able to tell what he's trying to say even though he doesn't actually speak. The reason that he is mute is because Reyna Cruz stabbed him in the throat, cutting all his vocal cords, which the mark is permanent. While Caroline is giving birth, Reyna Cruz's mark opens up on his neck and he starts to run. However, she catches up to him and rips his heart out and then lights his body on fire. So his soul is inside of the stone, and when it gets released by Mary Louise and Nora, he is seen by Bonnie, Enzo, and Damon. They're like, don't kill me, we're friends. He's like, we don't know you. Yeah, he's like, not in this body, it's me, Bo. And Bonnie doesn't want to let Damon or Enzo kill him, but Damon does it anyways. R.I.P. Bo. Thanks so much for helping with Caroline's babies. Dead. So we also see Oscar. Oscar is a heretic that was there in 1863 with Valerie. Well, he was not a heretic yet. He was just a Siphon witch from the Gemini Coven. Oscar was really loyal to Lily's cause at first and liked being a part of a family because he, like the rest of the Siphons, were rejected and neglected. When they get free from the prison world, Lily sends Oscar to find Julian's body. He has found Julian's body months prior to this, but he does not want to say anything because he is having the best time of his life. Damon, Bonnie, and Rick show up on his doorstep. They are going to use him to leverage for Elena's coffin. When Oscar opens the door, he immediately recognizes Damon, and Damon is slightly confused, like, how do you know me? He's like, you're Lily's son. I met you back in 1863. He's like, oh, thanks, man. You actually saved my life. Thanks for the compulsion. He's like, I didn't compel you, man. We just talked. He's like, you told me not to go, and I didn't. The next day, my whole regiment died. But Oscar does not want to go back to Lily, and Valerie also doesn't want Oscar to go back to Lily with the information about Julian, so she kills him and lies about it. His body is resurrected with another soul because of the Phoenix Stone, but it is not him, and ultimately he dies again. So Malcolm is probably the least seen heretic of all the heretics in this show. However, his character really puts a lot of things in motion for us and is very crucial to the other characters' development and storylines. So once all of the residents are cleared from Mystic Falls and the heretics have Damon and Stefan's home, Bonnie and Damon come back to Sevis, and they are like, nope, we're not going to stand for this, and they kill Malcolm. And in retaliation to them killing Malcolm, Lily takes Caroline hostage. And while they're going to bury Malcolm in the family crypt, the Salvatore family crypt, where she hasn't even been alive for, where Elena is, she also takes Elena. Damon finds this information out via Enzo and heads there to the family crypt. During the funeral, and Elena's coffin is gone. Lily says some crazy stuff about how she used to take his toy soldiers away because being beaten never worked for him. So that's why basically she took Elena away. And Damon figures out that she's trying to plot both Stefan and Damon against each other. She's so furious with Damon and tells Damon that he killed her eldest son. How ironic that you took him from me. Like, so messed up. I feel so bad for Damon in this moment. I want to, like, cry for him and hug him. Mary Louise tells Damon that he was the reason that she was not on the streets anymore. Nora says that he saves her life from her parents. And Valerie says that he reunited her and Beau, and they hadn't seen each other in a decade. And he really brought them all together and was Lily's sounding board. So he's really responsible for the heretics being where they are and for both Elena and Caroline becoming hostages. And the last heretic that I think we see in the entire series is Lizzie Saltzman. She gets blood from the school's emergency medical supply of vampire blood, and it ends up being Hope's. She becomes sired to her. She has a tough time adjusting to vampirism. She's bouncing into walls and very klutzy and very it's actually kind of comical. I really like how they show it. Honestly, the deeper I got into talking about this heretics, the more I really didn't want to talk about them anymore because everything about them was not clear at all and really confused me. But I hope that you guys enjoyed what I wanted to say. If you have anything that you're thinking about this topic, go ahead and let me know if you're able to. See you guys next week. Bye.